Hopefully as well, on your way in, you got a Bible. And it'd be really helpful if you could turn with me to page 928. 928. Or indeed, on there, 929. That'll do. But we're at 928. We're starting a new series this morning in the book of Jonah. We're going to visit chapter 1 this morning, have a little break next week as we have Spencer Kritoff from Causeway visiting us. And then the 3 weeks after that, we're going to do chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, Jonah. And now, it's worth saying straight away, Jonah, the book of Jonah is not about a fish. Now, it's not even about Jonah. The book of Jonah, and I hope we'll see this over the next few weeks, the book of Jonah is about God's massive mercy, his generous mercy. Over and over in Jonah, we discover that as people trust God, he does not treat them as their sins deserve. He has massive mercy. And so we're going to read Jonah chapter 1, and I need your help with two things as we read Jonah chapter 1. I need your help to spot any emotion, okay? Any emotion as we read. You'll spot some, I think. Look out for any emotion. But I need a bit more help than that, because there's a special name that God is given in the book of Jonah. It's this, it's the Lord, okay? Wherever you see big capital letters, Lord, in the Bible, that's God's special name. It could have said Yahweh, but it's quite hard to pronounce if you just have YHWH, Yahweh. So it says the Lord. Wherever we read the Lord, that's God's special name. He's especially revealed himself as Yahweh, the Lord. So, what I need you to do, as we go through Jonah chapter 1, wherever we see Lord in big capital letters, I need you to read it with me. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Shall we have a practice? The word of the
Lord.
Very good. I think you're going to be good at this. Here we go. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the
Lord
came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the
Lord
and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the
Lord.
Then the sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." And the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what are your people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the
Lord,
because he had already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Why, instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the
Lord,
"Please, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Well done. Very good. Well done at reading the Lord. That is God's special name. Whenever we see that, we should think, oh, this is not just God in generic language. This is God's special name as he reveals himself. Wonder, did you spot any emotion? Terrified. Who was terrified? The sailors. Josh, what did you notice? Fear. Who was fearful? The sailors. Anybody else spot any other fear? Any other terror? Any other? Pardon? Afraid. Who was afraid? A theme. Sailors. Scared. Let's come back to that. I think that will be helpful for us. Now, this might be obvious. There's no fish in chapter 1. Who's the main character, do you think? Who are the main characters? Mikey? Jesus isn't actually in the book of Jonah, but good idea. Another name beginning with J? Jonah. You're right. Now, Jonah is a prophet. That means Jonah is God's messenger. And we learn elsewhere in the Bible that Jonah is quite a good prophet. When he gets a message from God, he tells people. And that's what he's supposed to do as a prophet. But Jonah's quite a comfortable prophet. He likes where he lives. He likes his hometown. He likes to be a comfy prophet. Any other main characters that we need to just... We said the sailors are afraid. Yeah, the sailors are afraid. Well done. Any other main characters? The Lord. Okay, so we've got our main characters, the Lord, Jonah, and some sailors. Now, what does God say to Jonah? Yeah, go where? Go to Nineveh, God says to Jonah. Go to Nineveh, this place where they don't worship me, where they don't like me. I was reading about Nineveh and it sounds horrible. Here's two ways I thought, these are two things I think might have happened in Nineveh. When you walk into school in Nineveh, the first thing that happens to you is you get pushed over. That's the kind of place Nineveh is. You walk through the school gate and somebody comes up to you and pushes you over. Does that sound like a nice place? Here's another thing I think probably happened in Nineveh. I didn't know whether I should say this, but I'm going to. I think they probably burned each other's pets. That's bad, isn't it? That's horrible, isn't it, Elsie? I think that's the kind of thing that happened in Nineveh. Because God says its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah has to go to Nineveh, which is a horrible place full of horrible people. God says go, because he wants to warn these people. God has given Jonah this really clear instruction, go. Well, what does Jonah say? Or better, what does Jonah do? He runs away. Did you notice that? Verse 3, Jonah ran away from the Lord. Have a look at the end of verse 3. What else do we notice? What other word does it use to describe Jonah disappearing? Don't worry. Flee. He ran away from the Lord. He fled from the Lord. He's trying to run away. So essentially, Jonah says, no. That's what you said, wasn't it, Benji? God says go. Jonah says, nah, not today. No, not happening. No. And not only does he just say no, he runs in the opposite direction. See, Nineveh, here's a map. I don't really like maps, but here's a map. Here's where Jonah lives, kind of around the bottom of this arrow, okay? And then he goes down to Joppa. and tries to go over there. He tries to travel all 2,500 miles to Tarshish to not go to Nineveh. It's not just that he says no, he runs in the opposite direction. Bad move, Jonah. He pays the fare. He gets on the boat, rubs his hands. I'm getting out of here. It's all going to be okay. I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm going to Tarshish. But what happens? What happens, Emmanuel? Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind. And a little storm? Have a look, what kind of storm is it? Violent storm. A violent storm. It's massive. Perhaps it looked like this. Perhaps it looked like this. Imagine a little boat traveling in that massive wave. Maybe it looked like this. Scary. Maybe it sounded like this. Maybe it felt like this. You get the idea? Feeling the rocking backwards and forwards, the toing and the froing of the boat. This is a massive storm, a great big, terrifying storm. What's happening to the boat? Can you see at the end of verse 4? What's happening to it? Yeah, do you know, it's the ship is threatening to break up. Yes! Yes, it's threatening to break up. And how are the sailors feeling? They're afraid. They are afraid. Understandably, right? Worried. These are sailors, but this is a storm that is terrifying them. They're afraid. So what do? They do what, Julia? Yeah, they do. They pray. Well, in fact, what does it actually say? They cried out in verse 5. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. It's not just even, like they're just, Lord God, please help us. It's terrified crying. They're, Lord God, help us. They're crying out to each to his own God. How does it help? Doesn't help. Crying out to any other God than the Lord is not going to do anything because those gods are fake. And every other God is fake. Cannot help you in the midst of despair, in a storm. You cannot get help from a fake God. What else do they try when the crying out to their gods doesn't work? They throw the cargo overboard. They start lobbing stuff off the boat. They start throwing everything in. They pick up a person. No, not him. They just chuck stuff in because they're worried. They're trying to lighten the boat to make it last longer. And the storm is raging. The sky looks like that and the waters are choppy. And where's Jonah? And it's only when the captain comes and says to him, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of you to so that we will not perish. It's only when the captain comes and wakes him that he arises. And he rubs his eyes and he comes up to the top and he starts to get wet. And I'm not going to spray myself with the water pistol. But he gets water in the face and he sees the size of the waves and he joins in with them thinking, what is going on? Well, they tried praying to their gods. They might as well get Jonah to try praying to his. They think they're going to die, so it's worth a shot. And we find in verse 7 that they cast lots. Maybe they throw dice to see who's it going to land on, whose fault is it. And they cast these dice and it lands on Jonah and they say, what have you done? Who are you? What have you done to cause this storm? And Jonah speaks, and I think it's probably some of the most amusing evangelism in the Bible. He's kept quiet all this time. All he's said to them so far is that he's running away from his God. He hasn't told them why. He hasn't really told them anything about his God. And so when he's backed into a corner, he blurts out, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And I wonder if, as he speaks those words, in that moment he realizes just how silly he's been to get on a boat. God said, go. Jonah said, no, and tried to run away. Jonah knows that God made the land and the sea, so why did he get on a boat? You can't run from the God who made the sea and the dry land. You can't flee from God. And then Jonah realizes it here. Well, these men, now they're terrified. The news that this God, Jonah's God, made the sea and made the land terrifies them. And so they say, what have you done? And they ask, as the sea gets rougher and rougher, they ask, what should we do to make the sea calm down? And Jonah tells them, throw me over. Throw me into the sea and it will grow calm. Now, understandably, they're reluctant. Why are they reluctant? They try and row back to land, but why are they reluctant to throw Jonah over? Yeah, they're going to kill him. If they throw him in, they know that he'll die. And they don't want him to die, so they're reluctant. So they try rowing, but it just gets wilder. It gets wilder. So what do? As the sea gets wilder, they do throw him over, but before they throw him over, they do something that I think is wonderful, and it's so interesting. To who? The Lord. They tried crying out to their gods, their fake gods. Now they cry out to Jonah's God, the Lord. They cry out to the Lord. And they say, please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. And yes, then they grab hold of Jonah, maybe a couple on his arms and a couple on his legs, and they kind of do one, a two. No, they just chuck him in. And as they throw him overboard, what do we learn? Yeah. What kind of sea gets calm? The raging sea grew calm. Maybe now it looks like this, or better, like this. Calm waters. The great wind, the violent storm grows calm. And the sailors now, well, they're sweaty and they're out of breath and they're hot and bothered and they're relaxed and smiling and cheery and celebrating. Yeah? No? What are they doing now? Yeah, they offer a sacrifice and make vows, but how are they feeling? Scared. They're greatly fearing What are they greatly fearing? Huh? The Lord. Yes, Mikey. Absolutely. They were terrified of the storm. Now they're greatly fearing the Lord. What a day for these sailors. What a day for these men. They thought it was just going to be a normal trip on a normal voyage to Tarshish. Maybe they'd have had a little storm and they'd have been fine. But no, today, this day, the great storm comes. They have to throw Jonah in so that they can be safe. Now, I wonder how the rest of the day felt as they probably went back to Joppa, back, and people were like, what are you doing back here? What happened to your boat? What happened to the sails? It looks a mess. What's going on? And they explain the story. They'd never forget the experience, the day they threw Jonah overboard, the day the Lord stopped the storm. Now, it's an amazing story. But I wonder how we feel about understanding what God is telling us through this story. Every story in the Bible has a meaning, and God wants to speak to us through it. As you reflect on the story that we've just read, anybody? I've got some thoughts, don't worry. I haven't left this bit to chance. But anybody got any thoughts as we reflect on Jonah chapter 1? What does it mean? What is God trying to teach us? I'll just give you a second while I have some water. You can think, what is God trying to teach us? Emmanuel, what do you think God is trying to teach us through Jonah chapter 1? Yeah. He's trying to teach us that this is a bad idea. Yeah, that's a great call, Emmanuel. Think about that a bit more in a second. Anybody else? Any other ideas? Follow the Lord like the sailors. Great thought, Josh. Any other ideas? What's God trying to teach us this morning in Jonah chapter 1? What do you think, Mikey? The Lord. Yeah. I think it's all about the Lord. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yeah, go on. Say, go on. In the storms of life, God can be with us. And I think we'll see that particularly in chapter 2. But that's definitely true in chapter 1. Any other ideas? He's in control. It's amazing, isn't it? The language. And we might have questions about this. But verse 4, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Clearly, the Lord sends this storm. The Lord makes it windy. That's really helpful. Here's a way I like to think about Old Testament stories particularly. I like to look at the main characters. We did that. I like to think about the beginning. Where were the main characters in the beginning? Where were the main characters at the end? And how did they get there? Does that sound quite simple? Where were the main characters at the beginning? Where were they at the end? And how did they get from A to B? Should we try that? Let's try it with Jonah the prophet. Jonah the prophet, where was he at the beginning? How was life going for him? Yeah, he was chilling. He was having a nice time. He was a pretty good prophet. He was having a nice time. Here's what I've gone for. He was safe. Fine. Living in his hometown, safe. Lovely. What a nice thing to be able to do. I'm just an everyday prophet of the Lord. Nice, comfy. What about at the end of the verses that we read, the story that we read, where is Jonah? He's been thrown in, hasn't he, Elsie? He's been thrown over. Elsie, what do you think is going to happen to Jonah as he sinks to the bottom of the sea? He's going to die. That seems to be what the sailors think, isn't it? They think if we throw the man overboard, he's going to die. That's what happens at sea. If you throw a person into the sea, what do? They sink. Now, one or two of you might like to put a question mark after this, but today we're going for dead, okay? At the very least, he's drowning. Dead, I think, is a pretty reasonable assumption as we read the story of Jonah chapter 1. Debt. How did he get there? How did this happen? We've got the beginning. We've got the end. How did it happen? What meant that we went from Jonah being safe to Jonah being dead? Now, there's a few things that happened, but we'll get to the main one. What happened? He rejected God. Yeah, I think that is the main thing. The main thing. You could say, well, God gave him a message, and that made him act. It's true. You could say, well, God sent a storm, and that... Oh, you could say the men threw him over, and all those things are part of the story. But the big thing that Jonah did was said no. Jonah is a rebellious runaway. And that has what has taken him from being safe to being dead. God is trying to teach us that if you run away from him, you get into all sorts of danger. What about the sailors then? Let's think about the sailors. They're one of the other main characters. Where are they at the beginning? Yeah, they're safe. Here's a more specific question. Who are they worshipping at the beginning? They're gods. They're fake gods. Yeah, they're quite clearly, when they get into trouble at least, they worship. Now, this is a person worshipping, not a motorbike. Okay? It's a person worshipping. Okay, it's a person worshipping. They're fake gods. That is what they're doing. What are they doing at the end? Adam, what did they do at the end? They sacrificed, didn't they? They sacrificed to make vows to the Lord. They worship the Lord at the end. Again, worshipper, not a motorbike. How did that happen? How did we get from them worshipping fake gods to worshipping the Lord, the true God? How? Emmanuel, you're so good at answering questions. Nefemi's got his hand in the air. Anybody else? They discovered Jonah was the reason for this. Jonah, in so many ways, is the reason they go from fake gods to worshipping the Lord. Because, in some sense, genuinely, because Jonah said no, they worship the Lord. Because Jonah is a rebellious runaway prophet, the sailors go from worshipping their fake gods to worshipping the Lord. I think that is awesome. Why? Because God can use, he does use in this story, his rebellious runaway prophet to save the sailors. How merciful of the Lord. He didn't have to. He could have just let Jonah run away. Nothing more needed to happen. He could have just let Jonah die, but we'll see what happens next. He could have let them all die at sea. And yet in his amazing mercy, he uses this rebellious runaway prophet to save the sailors. Now, as we look at a story like this, I think it's helpful to have two ideas in your head to understand what we're supposed to learn. Those two ideas are this: a mirror and a window. When you look in a mirror, oh dear. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? A reflection of yourself. And if you think of the book of Jonah a bit like looking in a mirror, you see Jonah and you think, oh, how am I a bit like Jonah? How do I act a bit like Jonah sometimes? Oh. And that's a helpful way to think about this story. How am I like Jonah? As I look at Jonah chapter 1, a bit like looking in the mirror, how does it reflect back on me? Now, I don't think many of us have been asked by the Lord to go to Nineveh. Anybody? No. Now, it might be that one or two of us have ignored God when he's said, I want you to move to this place or this place. I want you to go and do this or do that. Maybe. But I think much more as we look at Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is an example to us in the small ways that God has said to us, go do this, and we say no. The small ways. Last week we thought about fishing for people. imagining God saying, go, fish for people. Do you know what my heart does? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do fishing for people, so I'm going to just wander over to Tarshish. Say no. Or God says to us, go and live a godly life, live an obedient life, fight against your sin, whatever it might be, your sexual sin, watching pornography, having an affair, your sins with money, stealing, theft, speeding, all sorts of sins that we might just commit day by day. God says, go and don't do those things. Oh, I just like being in Tarshish, actually, and I just quietly, subtly ignore the Lord. I want to say no. Or obedience. God says go and be a really godly person. Be like Jesus. Be compassionate. Be kind. Be humble. Be generous. And we say, well, I like my money, so I'm going to keep hold of it. And we say no. Subtle ways in which God says go, and we say no, thank you. And Jonah is a warning to us that as we ignore God, disaster looms. It might take many months, many years, but disaster will come upon us if we continually and always ignore the Lord. If we keep on saying no to God. Another way of thinking about a book like this is as a window. As we look through a window, As we look through a window, what do we see through the window? So if you put Jonah chapter 1 here and think, what do I learn about God? It gives us a window into who God is and God's heart. So we look at Jonah chapter 1 through a window. And we see God's amazing mercy to these sailors. He doesn't need to save them. But he uses Jonah's terrible evangelism to bring them in. He uses the storm in their life, this terrifying moment in their life, to bring them to him. He shows great mercy. And I wonder, as you think about Jonah chapter 1 and you think about this storm, maybe you have memories of another storm in the Bible. If you've been reading Mark, you might have read of it this past week. Another storm, another man with a name beginning with J gets on a boat. And he gets on this boat and he goes to preach to other people. He's traveling across a sea, not running away, but literally going to preach to people, ignoring, not listening to what Jonah does, but doing what God says. He's going to preach. And again, a massive storm comes up, a furious squall. Waves are breaking over the boat so that it's nearly swamped. And again, where's Jesus? Asleep. Like Jonah. But Jesus isn't hiding. Jesus is just resting because he's been so busy preaching. And the disciples, a bit like the sailors, they run to Jesus in the boat and they wake him up and they say to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Sound just like the captain of the ship. We're going to perish. Wake up. And to be safe in this situation, the sailors, the fishermen, they don't need to throw Jesus over. They just need Jesus to speak. And Jesus simply says to the waves and to the wind, be still, quiet. And again, the fishermen, now they're sweaty and they're out of breath and they're relaxed, they're calm. Do you know the story? They're terrified of Jesus. They say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It's such a similar story with similar language, but such a different outcome. Jesus saves them with his words. And as we look at Jonah chapter 1, it's like a mirror. It's like a window showing us God's character. And then when we see Jesus, we see God's character in its fullness. As Jesus goes to the cross to save people from their sin, Jesus sinks down to the depth of death. Is dead on the cross so that we can be safe from the judgment of God. Well, I wonder, in life, where we need to just be that bit quicker to say yes to God when he says go, And I wonder if we just need a moment to reflect on the massive mercy of our God. In Jonah chapter 1, but much more, as we see Jesus go and die for us at the cross. Have a moment to reflect and then we'll sing.